Hello and welcome to episode 143 of the Fertility Podcast. I'm Natalie Silverman, your host. If this is your first listen to the podcast, do have a listen to some previous ones, over 140, obviously, from the number of this episode. Across the whole fertility spectrum, I talk to experts in PCOS, those dealing with endometriosis. I talk about childlessness, I talk about male infertility, about failed cycles, about fertility nutrition, about mental health. So please do have a listen to other episodes, because the point of what I'm trying to do is help you feel less alone wherever you're at on your journey. Now, this episode I'm about to share is a real emphasis on fertility education, which is something that I know if I'd had more of, things would be pretty different in my world. And there is such a need for, especially us women, to understand about our bodies, to understand that we're born with all our eggs, something that you don't really find out until you start trying and it's taking longer than you expect. Now, I was going to save this episode for a couple of weeks, but as you're here, I recorded it last week when England were still in the World Cup. And rather than me referring to it in this episode, which you'll hear, and playing it a few weeks later and kind of rubbing salt in our wound, I thought I'd share it with you now. So that's just a little disclaimer that there is a bit of a football reference. So enjoy. So I'm now going to welcome Afton Vetteri and Carly Leahy, co-founders of Modern Fertility, to talk about their simple-to-use test. Ladies, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Well, it's a very exciting moment that I'm speaking to you in, because as we speak, England are currently 1-0 up in the World Cup, and I'm hoping that by the time I come back to this episode and edited it, I will still be celebrating. So just know that this is a very exciting time in the UK that we're speaking. And we're rooting for you. Thank you. Because we've managed to coordinate our diaries. I know you guys are pretty busy travelling around. Afton and I have already spoken. We had a nice little Skype call where I purposely positioned myself in the sunshine. We still have a heat wave in the UK. It's amazing.
It was a good luck call. We're just sending you San Francisco vibes.
Thank you. So let's talk about this simple to use test that you've created. I know that you described that it easily draws blood, and the aim is to put the power of fertility knowledge into the hands of women wherever they want it. So talk to me about how the test works before we talk a bit about why you guys kind of came together to set it up.
At Modern Fertility, we take the same laboratory tests that in an infertility clinic, typically when a female or couple is having trouble getting pregnant, and we take those same tests out of the clinic and make them available to women earlier in life. So today we live in a society that's very focused on preventing pregnancy, yet when women are starting their families and trying to conceive, it's a black box and there's very little information available to them. And so Modern Fertility was really created as a fertility education company to equip women with the information that they needed about their bodies to make the decisions that were right for them. And so we really focus on making this information easy to get. As you mentioned before, our customers have the ability to either swing by a local lab or perform the test at home with a simple finger prick and send it back, and they get information on between 1 in 8 hormones dependent on their birth control that they're taking, if any, that help them just understand more about their bodies. We live in a society where women are waiting later and later to start their families, and as such, unfortunately, our biology hasn't kept up, and we have 1 in 6 couples having some type of issue with fertility. So Modern Fertility really hopes to close that gap and just give women more information.
I love this, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you, because in the last 4 years of doing this podcast and the numerous women that I've spoken to, and men, but people that are going through infertility, so often the conversation is that we just didn't know the information that we needed about our fertility kind of ahead of time. And that's what your aim is to give us that empowering, essential knowledge.
Exactly. Back when I was introduced to the space, when I was working in a healthcare private equity fund, I was able to learn the science and business of fertility and infertility, but it was really that emotional aspect that stuck with me. I was talking to so many women in these infertility clinics that just didn't or hadn't been told that fertility declined with age, or thought that IVF could just solve all of their answers at any age that they wanted. And it really was just so clear to me that times are changing. Women have more control over their reproductive timelines, and as such, just need to have the information on both sides, just as much about prevention as they need about fertility. And so we really hope to close that gap entirely.
And I know you just touched on Afton, your background, and you were working at, am I right in saying that kind of research, you were working in the kind of research side with the science tech world before you moved into specifically the fertility world, is that right?
Yeah, so I worked at a healthcare private equity fund over on the East Coast. And when I moved out to San Francisco, the first company I worked at was an autism behavior phenotyping company working on diagnoses for young kids with autism, then a breast pump company, and most recently running consumer tools at 23andMe. So there was a kind of pattern in those companies of personalized medicine, but also women as a purchaser and just as an advocate for health and more information. So it really, over the course of working at those companies, I was really able to dive down into, you know, what is personalized medicine? How are people getting more information about their bodies? And how can we use science to improve the way that we make decisions in our lives?
And Carly, tell me a bit about how you guys came together and your background.
Absolutely. So Afton was very steeped in this space. And I always say I was one of those women who didn't think she needed to be bothered with fertility information. Sure. I was super focused on career. I was working at Google in product and in brand, and spent a few years at Uber building our new experiments like Uber Eats and Uber Health. And when Afton and I started digging into this issue and I started reading more about fertility science, I really could not believe how much there was I didn't know. And I'm not the sort of person who likes not knowing things. It became very, very clear to me that there was a massive gap. And having done work building products that help people's lives and building brands that resonate with people, we really knew that there was an opportunity to bring this information into women's worlds and lives in a way that really resonated with them. And my goal was always, how would I make sure I understood all of this information earlier in life before it potentially could have become a problem?
Because without seeming rude, how old are you both?
we're both 29 years old. And we like to remain age agnostic, because, you know, that can mean something different to everyone, but yeah, we're people tell us we're on the cusp of something at 29.
Well, I was going to say, it's such a funny one when you ask about age with regards to fertility, because there's that awful, oh, 35. But what I love is that what you're enabling is with the kind of results that you're getting when people have done the test, you also have this unique fertility profile, don't you, when you take your test?
Yeah, and that's absolutely it. Understanding what's going on with your body is super empowering. And for someone, you know, like me, who's a planner and plans out her career and her finances, turning a blind eye to something like this that is so important for my future. I have goals related to family planning. I just didn't know that there were steps I could take to actually get the information that could help inform those decisions. And we know that there are so many women who, when they know there is a first step, would want to take advantage of that, want to be able to keep tabs on things and to plan them out so that they have more control and ownership over their future.
Yeah, and to dive into the science a little bit on the personalized report. So one of the hormones that we test for is anti-Müllerian hormone, which is released by the follicles that surround the cells in the ovaries. And so by measuring the level of anti-Müllerian hormone in a woman's blood, it's a proxy of how many eggs that she has in her ovaries at that time and how many she has left. So we're born with a few million eggs, and that number number ticks down to zero at menopause. So by understanding if you have a normal level of anti-Müllerian hormone for your age, or if it's too high or too low, it can give us a lot of information about our overall reproductive health, which is in turn tied to our general health. So some of the things that we help women understand is their age of menopause onset, and if they're on track to hit slightly earlier or slightly later than average. The average age of menopause in the U.S. is 51 years old, and women lose their fertility or start to experience the effects of fertility-related menopause. So the average age of menopause in the U.S. is 51 years old, and women start to lose their fertility as it relates to menopause about 10 years before that. So if you hear about a 40-year-old that gets pregnant today, it still is entirely possible, but it's a big deal. It's something that doesn't happen to every single person. And so let's say that a woman is on track to hit menopause a little bit earlier, let's say at 45 as opposed to 51. Then at 35, her body's going through those same changes that we have in our minds as a typical 40-year-old. And so allowing a woman to have that information to think about her reproductive timeline, often, this might not be impactful for her for kid number one, but let's say that she wants to have three kids and she's planning to start at 37 with that information. Additional information about her body that just might not be the decision that ends up being the best choice and lets her meet her goals. And so we're all about taking this science, this information, simplifying it, and helping women understand exactly where the science is and what it can and cannot tell us. So menopause onset is one of the things we help women understand. We help her think through red flags, and then we also help walk through how this translates to success in IVF and egg freezing, which can also be really helpful in women thinking through their timelines.
So when you talk about it helps with success with IVF, how?
So anti-Müllerian hormone, which is a proxy of a woman's ovarian reserve, can also be used to give her more information about egg freezing or IVF. So we hear from some women that they've heard about egg freezing, but they don't know how to think about it. And one of the great things that AMH can do is help them understand how many eggs they have in their ovaries right now and how they might respond to treatment. So let's take two different scenarios. A 29-year-old that has a really healthy AMH level that has a lot of eggs, and a 29-year-old that has a very low AMH level that only has a few eggs. The way that egg freezing works is that hormones are applied and every egg grows instead of just one egg growing and ovulating naturally. And so in the scenario where a woman has a lot of eggs, she might only have to go through one round of egg freezing and pay the cost associated with that to achieve a certain likelihood of success of a live birth. Whereas a woman that has low AMH might have to go through multiple cycles of egg freezing in order to achieve her family planning goals. So for every age, doctors recommend different levels or a different number of eggs to have higher odds of a successful pregnancy and birth. And so AMH is a really helpful tool in just having another piece of information to decide if that procedure might be right now, later, and just have in your back pocket to think through.
We'll catch up the ladies in just a moment, because I want to just tell you a bit about my sponsors who make this podcast possible. If you're looking for a supplement to take whilst trying to conceive, Pregnacare Conception and Wellman Conception provide advanced nutritional support. They include zinc, vitamin D, and the exact levels of folic acid recommended for women by the UK Department of Health. Pregnacare is expert nutritional care while trying for a baby. And to find out more, visit thefertilitypodcast.com/shop. The Fertility Podcast is sponsored by Infertile Life. For you, if you're trying to conceive and struggling with preparing yourself for IVF treatment, the Enhanced Fertility Program will enable you to improve your physical and mental health and get the support you need to get pregnant faster. It's all online. And to find out how you can join today, visit infertile-life.com/EFP. And tell me a bit about what feedback you've had from people that have used the test. And I'm keen to know whether you've had your friends, you know, take it on and those kind of conversations that you might be having.
Yeah, very, very early on, we wanted to help as many women get this information as possible. And part of that meant, you know, explaining the value of it early on and really working through humanizing the science in a way that was relatable, but also remaining super scientifically credible. So we're always kind of walking that line. And we hear from customers all the time a couple of things that stick out. One is when they find out about us, they say, we were just talking about this at book club or in some other sort of group. We were just talking about this kind of big, broad, black box of fertility. And we didn't realize that there was a simple first step that you could take to just check in and see where you are. So being able to kind of have a bridge from that big wonky conversation into something active that you can do and kind of get a baseline is really impactful. And then exactly what you mentioned earlier on, we hear from a lot of older women, I wish I had this. I wish I would have known. I wish someone would have told me how all of this worked instead of, you know, me finding out the hard way or me just not being prepared to understand all of the options that I have at my disposal.
And I know that you have an age restriction from 21 to 40 from the kind of research that you're doing. And is that because women aren't really paying attention until they're in their 20s, as far as not starting any younger?
We get a lot of questions about our age bracket, and we're actually working to extend it on both sides. Okay. And the over 40 side, it's the same test that women will take, you know, through their 40s and menopause that are super helpful for understanding more about reproductive health. It's different content when you're over 40, and it's different content when you're under 21 about how you would interpret all of these hormones and how you would take these results and have a conversation with your doctor. So it's on our roadmap to extend the content in both directions. Right now, for every single age, we take different literature and different clinical recommendations and different information about the hormones, and everything is custom. And so it's our plan to extend it in both directions. We're just not there quite yet.
Well, I spoke to a 20-year-old recently who is an IVF baby, and I talked about her own feelings about knowing more about her fertility, because it was the fertility issue was with her mum. And she just said to me, I don't really want to know yet. And she said that she felt that there might be an issue because it was with her mum, and she felt that it might have carried on through to her, but she felt that she wasn't ready and that her friends weren't ready, which I thought was really interesting. And I wonder whether that's feedback you might have experienced from the early 20s, whether it's a bit too much to deal with at this stage. And maybe, you know, naturally, I wasn't thinking about it at 20. I don't think I was thinking about it at 25. Maybe once I passed 25, I started to think about it. Have you had any feedback from those early 20s?
Yeah, so our view is that this is entirely up to women on if they want this information in their lives or not. And every single person has a different way that they'll take this information in and react to it. So I've talked to 20-year-olds that are trying to pull enough money together to freeze their eggs because they're like, okay, great. I just graduated college. I'm thinking about my career. I'm thinking about my reproductive health in the exact same way. I want to get this out of the way so I don't have to think about it enough. So I think it's new. I think the information is new. And I think that, you know, when I was 22, I had the really amazing experience of being able to dive into the science, being able to spend all of this time in a IVF clinic talking to women that were older than me. And I think not every, you know, 21-year-old has a close colleague or a close friend that's been affected by infertility. But, you know, Carly and I and a lot of our customers have either, you know, had a personal experience or have had a close family member or friend that has had an experience. And so I think as women get a little bit older, they often have more experiences that really personalize how impactful this information can be. And so I think it's a personal decision.
Yeah, and I'll just say the more that the conversations are happening, the more that trickle down effect occurs. So, you know, if we're able to sort of close this information gap a bit and women get this information earlier in life, we'll all be more aware, our daughters will be more aware earlier in life, and they'll be able to choose what they want to do with that information, whether they want it or not. But that trickle-down effect is something that needs to happen, and by facilitating conversation, we're hoping that's a side effect there.
Tell me a bit about the Fertility Measurement Index.
Yeah, so the Fertility Measurement Index, the FEMI, is an educational tool that we developed that's still in beta today, but was really pulled together because out of our deep focus on customer research and in talking to our customers and getting feedback about our product experience. And so with some of our earliest customers, they tested all of these hormones, they got all of this information, and they were like, okay, great, like that was a lot of information, like, what, give me the key points, give me the summary. Millennial women are on the go and they want to know, you know, what they need to pay attention to, and what are those cocktail facts that they need to bring up to their friends and share with their doctors. And so the Fertility Measurement Index, the FEMI, is really our way of summarizing all of the information on hormones, adding additional information on age and other factors that are impactful in fertility, like BMI and other health conditions, and just having this holistic picture and conversation about fertility in kind of this summary format. And so the FEMI, when we continue to invest and progress it, will eventually be a way for women to have one number that they're able to track every year. And so fertility declines with age. The clinical recommendation is to get these hormones retested every 9 to 12 months, dependent on a woman's age. And that's something that women can do through modern fertility. We work with a team of physicians to actually look at those changes from year to year and help women have information on what that change means. And so the FEMI over time will eventually be, you know, instead of looking at all of these different numbers and all of these different changes and pieces of information, just one summary number that takes all of it into account. And then today, it's a really great way to just get a summary on how all of these factors pull together.
Can you imagine if the FEMI is spoken about in the same way that women might talk about their dress size?
We would love that.
We see. I mean, not that I think that we should be talking about our dress size, but you know, that it was so commonplace to have this awareness.
You know, we talk about this all the time. We see a world where every single woman knows her fertility score, knows her FEMI, and is able to just have that information, and that there's no stigma associated with it. Every woman is born differently and has a different body, and it's information that she can use to make those decisions. So I'm so glad that you said that. I think that's the world that we want to create.
Now, I know that at the moment this is just available in the US, and the ideal is for it to be a global thing. As far as the like ins and outs of somebody going and having a test and getting the results, what kind of time frame do they have to kind of consider?
Yeah, so right now in the States, women can either go to a Quest Diagnostics facility in 47 states or order the test to test at home and ship it back to our CLIA and CAP accredited laboratory. In both scenarios, in less than a few weeks, women will get their results. And I think right now our turnaround time is typically less than a week.
Okay, cool. I just think it's so brilliant that you're plugging this gap. I'm a big believer of fertility education. It's part of the reason that I made this podcast. And I really hope that we can kind of keep in touch talking about how it's progressing and the kind of conversations that you're actually now starting that are obviously going to change as people talk about this more. And like we said, it would be amazing if it's such a common thing to do. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, I suppose the slight concern is that if you're young and you find a negative result, then is there that emotional support to guide you into how you can manage, you know, what you found? Is that something that you're looking into helping people with as well?
Yeah, so we want modern fertility to be a way where you can get all of the support you need. And modern fertility was really created to be that first step to facilitate a conversation with your doctor. So after you get the test results back, we included in our price point, we have the ability for women to talk to a fertility nurse and have a one-on-one consult and get additional information and ask additional questions that we might not have addressed in the reports already. Also included in the price, we have the ability for women to join a weekly webinar, which we call our Eganar. So they can join anonymously, more. I don't know, Carly, that must have been you.
I'm taking credit.
Good. That's a good pat on the back.
And so it's a way for women to anonymously, log in, ask more questions. And we also recently launched our community. So our community, it's just getting off the ground now, but it's a way for women to just talk to other women about their results, the impact, what they did next. And frankly, a lot more than just their modern fertility test. We have channels, I'm pulling it up now, around
about careers and
women in the workplace,
progressing and trading tips about really interesting articles in women's health in general.
Yeah, so if anybody's interested in joining, they can just shoot us an email at hi@modernfertility.com and we can share some more information.
Well, I'll put all the details of all of that on the show notes so people can have a look at the site and find you. And we'll keep in touch and you can let me know when it's coming to the UK and other countries around the world, because the podcast, of course, is listened to in lots of different countries. And I'm sure people listening are going to be like, what? This sounds so cool. And I know that it's all synced up to an app and you've got loads of kind of cool things that people can read about on your website. So I will share all the details of your site. Ladies, thank you. It's been really interesting learning more about it and good work. I mean, I know you've also got loads of backing, financial backing, because it's such a good idea, which is really exciting for you both, and congrats on that. I'm sure it's a really exciting time for you of what's gonna develop with modern fertility. So I look forward to talking more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
And I can just update you, because I know you're dying to know, that 90 minutes has passed in the England game. And it's 1-1 to England and Croatia, which means it will go to extra time and then possibly penalties. Very tasty. So let's see what happens by the time I actually share this episode. Yeah, whether we've made the final or not. Ladies, I bid you farewell. It's been lovely chatting.
Thanks so much.
So I don't need to tell you about the football score, do I? Hence me sharing the episode. To find out all the details about Carly and Afton and... To find out all of the details about Carly and Afton and modern fertility, go to the show notes, which are thefertilitypodcast.com/modernfertility. And there I've also shared details of... And there I've also shared details of my closed Facebook group, Talk Fertility, which I'd love for you... And there I've also shared details of my closed Facebook group, Talk Fertility, which I'd love you to join. It has experts from previous episodes as admins, as well as me there. So hopefully you get a different viewpoint, as well as having some support from people who get what's going on with you. And I'm going to be doing more live chats in there. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please do subscribe to the Fertility Podcast, rate and review it. It really helps other people find it. Just go to your favorite podcast app. Thank you, as always, for your support, and until the next time.